Today is Tuesday, June 13th, 2006, and you're listening to Security Radio from SecurityInfoWatch.com. Today's program features an interview with ADT's Director of Federal Systems Division, Paul Brisgoni. Brisgoni oversees the implementation of the company's security projects as they relate to the federal government and agencies. He's working on a lot of issues, including FIPS 201, the HSPD 12. They've landed such recent projects with the U.S. Marshals, the Port of Oakland, and even the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority. Paul joins us today from SecTech 06, a private Homeland Security conference and trade show going on in Washington, D.C., to discuss the company's new offerings in terms of FIPS 201 management systems and to discuss the challenges of FIPS 201 itself.
Can you give me a bit of a briefing about ADT's OneCard FIPS 201 compliant solution?
Sure. We've partnered with three other companies, SedTech for the applets, and we work with CrossMatch on the 10-slap fingerprint background check for the FBI, and also ORC for the certificates. What we do basically is we can take a person in once he's sponsored and gone through their, personnel department, human resources. We could take that information, have that pushed down through his sponsor, and we can enroll him into the FIPS system. Once we get the authentication from that, we go to a 10-slap fingerprint and a biometric for the facial, and we send that to the FBI for background check. Once that comes back approved, then we can issue the card and load down the certificates, depending on the clearance and then different what he's allowed to do or not allowed to do. We issue that card, and now that gives him full run on the government's infrastructure, communications network, and a computer, plus physical security.
And your offering is a enterprise software type solution. Is that what we're saying here?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And we have the five stations. You know, we have. We're offering now. We're also offering a card management system. After we're looking to look at some of the agencies we've been talking to. They want to do a. They want to outsource the card management. So we're looking at having offices set up either in GSA buildings around the country, or ADT offices, or a combination, and actually capturing the 10-finger slap and the picture, and also issuing cards around the country.
What's the word at the show today in terms of interest in FIPS 201? Is it a nerve-wracking kind of atmosphere where people are thinking, oh, this is coming up too soon, or are people very prepared?
Well, I guess you're pretty familiar with it, right? I take it?
I am.
Okay. We just came out of NIST last week, and we were down there for 4 days. This was that was the week where they had the agencies actually come into NIST, take a look at the approved products. And we were the only one basically there that had an end-to-end. And I would say it ranged all over from a lot of anxiety to confusion to just people being mad because they don't know where to get the funding from. They're being mandated by the White House to get this thing done. And some people just didn't have a clue, to be honest with you.
Obviously, funding is a chief concern. It's something that people are being told, you need to do this,
right,
but we're not funding you any extra to do it, correct?
Right. Exactly.
So what are you guys, in a sense, ADT's federal division has to be a consultant to these companies and advise them on how to find that money. And,
right.
And what are you guys telling them?
Well, we're doing that. We're working through SIA, the Security Industry Association. We're also working at a very high level at Interior, which is one of the big players, Commerce, GSA, and working with them. There's also, some of the SIA and a couple of the other large companies are actually working the floor of the Senate to talk to the representatives there about funding. Everybody's racing to get on Schedule 70. Mm-hmm. There is some money out there for pilot programs. I think a lot of agencies are going to try to do a small pilot program and issue some cards. and feel that that is as much as they could do right now to be compliant, to have a solution, but not everybody badged.
Right, because as it stands, and correct me if I'm wrong, Paul, but by this August, this October date, they simply have to begin issuing cards. It's not
right.
That they have to have full issuance. So
right. That
could mean, what, just a handful of cards in a pilot program.
Exactly. And there's a lot of agencies. I talked to the Endowment of the Arts last week. They've already went ahead and captured the 10 slab finger and the pictures. And they're just looking for a company to download that too, because they can't buy the cards direct. So they're actually looking for somebody to take that information and validate it and download the two cards for them. So there's a lot of different maneuvering going on, you know. We're getting, you know, we get mixed signals from GSA, from the GSA Schedule 70 people versus the FIPS HSPD people. You know what the next step is for us, because, you know, we're using software house readers, which are, you know, NIST certified. You know, we're using Gem Plus cards. We're using SetTex applets that are all NIST approved, right? Okay, now on top of that, we layer our card management system. Well, there's no means for either at NIST or GSA to do any kind of testing or approval on it. But yet that's the backbone of the system. So that's some frustration on our part.
We published a report, I guess, a few weeks ago that said, in essence, that a lot of the FIPS 201 was stalling out, a lot of the momentum, and obviously based on funding, based on these technological challenges. Is that something you're getting a sense of as well?
I've been with the government, I've been with ADT 32 years, and I've been doing this for about 25 years. And I can tell you that NIST and everybody I've talked to, there's not one person that went through there that said that this is like the favorite of the week. I mean, these guys all believe it's going to stay and get done. How and when is a whole different story, but they do not believe this thing is going to go away.
Right.
So I mean, it's there, and we had thousands of legacy systems installed that need to be upgraded. So we're working with a lot of our existing agencies, as well as some of the stuff that we've done has caught the eye of a lot of people that were not a big Booz Allen coming in there and charging them $700,000 for something they already know. You know, we're working with them up front, just the way we always do as a consultant. No charge. We work together as a team, put together a solution, and go for it. And you know, it's been received very, very well.
Is there a sense that a lot of the legacy equipment will end up being able to be used, and that perhaps the cost might be a little bit lower than a lot of end users in the government had initially feared?
Well, a lot of our systems were upgraded for 2000 Millennium. So the hardware is basically good. The networks are good. The things that have to be upgraded would be the readers themselves and the data gathering panels. Communication panels that tie in all the readers out in the field there. They'll have to be upgraded. And we're putting together solutions with our partners, Honeywell, GE, and Software House. Because, like I said, we had thousands of those systems installed. But it's not where you have to go in there wholesale and change out 100% of the installed equipment.
Mainly looking at adding some updated modules, kind of
right. Plug
into the panel.
Yes.
Is that right? Okay.
And then new readers.
New readers altogether.
That's
new
going to be the big piece, because none of the readers on the market today meet the new FIPS PIV requirements. In fact, it's really strange. We had to go over to Sweden to get a reader that worked, that met the new FIPS 201.
Where did you find one?
I forget the name of the company. It's in Sweden. It's a part of Software House that uses them a lot. But it's a nice reader. I mean, and it works very well. HID with their stuff is behind. GE's just starting their stuff out there. Honeywell, same thing.
So they'll probably be really rolling those out maybe around October, I guess.
Right.
Probably around the as-is show.
We're from June. Yeah, as-is will probably be actually a good bet. But I think June, July, a couple of guys are saying,
Right. Well, what else can you tell me about the system that you've unveiled today? I mean, any specifics and nuances of it that maybe some of the competitors are not tapping yet?
Yeah, well, one of the things that we have is we're going to have a one of the, you know, the interoperability is the big thing right now, right? So you have a person that works for DOE, and he's been enrolled in the system. He's got his card working. Now he's going to be loaned to another agency. What would happen would be the loaning agency would put a request in to the guy he's going to go to, right? And he's going to be there for 3 months and then information. He goes to a kiosk at that building or something behind the desk, and all that information is transferred, his new certificates. His sponsor would send over, you know, his clearance information. And when he goes in there and puts his card in the first time, all that new information is downloaded to the card, but also put out throughout the whole network, throughout the government. And that's something that nobody right now is looking at doing. It's a very easy process. So it's working. We talked about it last week. We showed people at this how we would do it. They were very excited about that. So the challenge is that if that guy is now on loan and he gets fired or something happens, you know, how do you go back and take this guy out of this, out of everybody's system? And we have the interface to do that.
So we'll always, I mean,
populate the whole system.
Paul, do you foresee a time when all of those databases would eventually become fully connected?
Yeah, I mean, you know, talking to
years out,
it's going to be a while out.
Yeah,
it's got to happen.
Absolutely, some sort of have a unified, perhaps, government IT department to
right.
to let those databases talk to each other.
Sure, you just take like DOT. You know, the guy we were talking to him last week. The guy said, "Well, it's like Tyco. You know, Tyco has five big divisions. Within those five divisions, you have hundreds of companies, and none of us talk to each other as far as communications, right?" Our networks do not talk, and it's the same thing with the government. They have the same problem. They all have their own networks, and most of them do not talk.
Well, at least this one card will help start to solve a little bit of that challenge.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, we've been showing it all day. We actually, what we're doing is when the visitors come into our show here, we actually badge them at the front desk and take the picture and actually give them a proof card. And then if they're here for PIV or for FIPS, they would go over to our units. And I would actually have an enrollment there. We'd actually download some applets. We would actually do a 10-finger slap, put the biometric on there, and issue another card again with their biometrics on there for the logical and physical security. So we have a door there with a lock on it. We have a computer there that they can try their card on. We can show them that it actually works. So it's pretty neat. It's been working very well.
That's great. Paul, wrap up today's chat. I mean, obviously for every one government employee, there are, you know, probably at least five in the private sector who are working in companies that are using, you know, heavy access control systems.
Mm-hmm.
How much of the processes and as well as the technology of this FIPS program do you think will make its way into the private sector?
Well, I think a lot, because we're already talking to a lot of people. They usually their advanced thing is the financial districts, the financial groups. They're looking at it. State and local government are looking at it, different agencies there. I've got to believe the motor companies and a lot of the other international companies will eventually look at this. Because if you think about international, you know, France and England, they've been using smart cards for years. So it's nothing new to them. And I really believe that this international business will grow into this, use this, and I think the private sector will also eventually. Because on the card we have, I mean, you could do debit cards, you could do, you know, for colleges and so forth, you know, you could do medical records on there. There's a whole lot of opportunities you can do.
It's a brave new world for the systems integrator.
Oh, absolutely.
Not with my daughter. Don't you dare give her a card. She can leave in college.
That's right. But the, you know, the IT security convergence is here, and here to stay.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us, Paul.
Thank you.
I'll let you get back to your show.
Thank you.